Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating ways.
Welcome, and you're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. This is Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips speaking to you from the Vaccine Rights Studios in Asheville, North Carolina, on this wonderful Thursday afternoon, September 5th, 2013, Sunday afternoon here in the eastern U.S. We're here every Thursday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific times for a couple of hours. Our usual format, a half an hour of me talking about vaccine rights issues, an hour of my co-host and founder of Homeopathy World Community, Debbie Brook, talking about vaccine news around the U.S. and around the world, and then a half an hour at the end of the show featuring Debbie Brook talking about homeopathy and how you can use homeopathy to improve your health and well-being in your own life. Today we may be a little different. Debbie is celebrating some religious holidays. I don't think she's going to make it in today. We will certainly cover for her. We may have a guest at the middle hour mark to talk about news, and hopefully that'll be the case. Not confirmed, so we'll just have to wait and see, but we will have some vaccine news for you one way or the other there. I wanted to spend some time for the first hour of our show today, though, talking in general about some information that I had put together in the past, explaining why I think that having a philosophical exemption or personal exemption to vaccines anywhere and any time that they are mandated, which in effect would negate the mandate, at least to the extent that people were aware of such an option. But why I think that there, not only do I believe that people should have that right, but that in fact there is a moral and ethical imperative for us to have philosophical exemptions, the right to say without having to justify that, no, thank you, we don't want a vaccine, when our government or employer or anyone else is telling us that we are being required to get a vaccine, to go to school, to work at a place of employment, to protect oneself and others in a local outbreak or emergency, etc. So I'm going to cover this in the first half hour, some of the reasons, some of the support for why I believe that having the right to say no to vaccines is a fundamental right that we should have, that there's a moral and ethical imperative. And at the heart of all the things I'm going to be talking about is the fact that we have been lied to by our state and federal health agencies. Employees are lied to by their employers about the safety and effectiveness or need for vaccines. At best, there is information right out of mainstream medical literature that is conflicting about the safety, the need, the efficacy, the effectiveness of vaccines. And let me talk about those two words for just a minute, efficacy and effectiveness. My understanding is that when you talk about the efficacy of a vaccine, you mean, does it produce antibodies in the vaccine recipient? So a vaccine's efficacy is rated at some percentage number, never 100%. according to the CDC's website, 85 to 95% for vaccines generally. According to medical literature, 60% or less for flu vaccines. According to independent researchers and medical studies, the efficacy, depending on the vaccine, can be far lower than the figures published by the CDC. But that's fine. We'll look at all the different information out there. But efficacy is about the antibody production. And effectiveness is a separate question. Effectiveness is, well, does the vaccine work in the real world? Well, the bottom line is that antibody production does not necessarily equal protection. There have been studies showing people with high antibody rates becoming infected with childhood infectious diseases and people with low antibody counts not getting sick when exposed. The immune system is a multifaceted critter. It has many different parts and pieces to it. It doesn't boil down to a simple, you have antibodies, you're safe, you don't have antibodies, you're at risk. It just doesn't boil down to that simple of an equation. But that's what we're told, and that's the rationalization, that's the basic theory about vaccines. There are many, many other aspects about vaccines and infectious disease, the risks of either or both, that are at best presented within in the form of incomplete information, and at worst with deliberate disinformation to sell a product or for other agendas having to do with some small number of people in positions of authority and control deciding that we should all be vaccinated for reasons other than the reason they give us, which presumably has to do with the safety, effectiveness, and the need for vaccines generally. But just as a real quick start, childhood infectious disease through and across the 20th century is widely attributed to vaccines, but completely erroneously. On average, about 90% of infectious disease decline preceded vaccines. Many diseases declined without any vaccines at all. Typhoid fever, scarlet fever, scurvy, tuberculosis. Some diseases actually increased following the introduction of vaccines. And the classic case here in somewhat recent history was back in the 1950s with polio. We now know from different sources, the one I'm most familiar with, Dr. Bernard Greenberg from the University of North Carolina, he was department head there, professor of biostatistics, and he testified that polio cases increased substantially after polio vaccines were introduced, 50% in the 57 to 58 years, and 80% from 1958 to 59, and that the Public Health Service deliberately manipulated statistics to give the opposite impression. In other words, we've been lied to about polio. And polio, by the way, which we did have troubling epidemics in the late 40s, early 50s, or around 1950, but polio had been declining for 4 or 5 years on its own before the vaccine, the first vaccine for polio, was introduced. So I don't know any way to sugarcoat this. We were lied to about polio. We're still being lied to about polio. And we're seeing polio come up in other places since then. And we're seeing similar lies being perpetuated. India recently claimed to have eradicated polio. They have some other disease that is the same as polio. It's clinically indistinguishable from polio, the way that it's described. It is more virulent, more deadly than wild polio, and it's only showing up in vaccinated children. But we've eradicated polio in India. Forget that there's something that's the same thing, only worse, apparently caused by the vaccine But since it's not the wild virus, they're not going to call it polio. So polio, the wild virus, is allegedly eradicated. But we have something else that's worse resulting from the immunization. But we don't have to worry about that. Polio has been eradicated. This is the kind of nonsense. Is just not an adequate word. It's the word that came to mind. This is the kind of nonsense that goes on in our world today. But nonsense is really a profound understatement. I think insanity or psychosis are closer words. Can we, moving on, can we compare the benefits of vaccines with the risk of vaccines? Because the truth is vaccines injure and kill people. We can no longer deny that. That's been an established fact medically and legally for many decades now. And while many pediatricians and other doctors and health authorities pretend that vaccines are safe and effective, the CDC certainly pretends that that's the case. They're not. The federal government here in the U.S. pays out $100 million a year, give or take, to the victims of vaccines, people who have been severely injured, disabled, or killed by vaccines, or their families. And the CDC and the FDA have told us that only 1 to 10% of the adverse events ever even get reported. Many people don't even know about the injury compensation program. No one has told them about it. Although, by federal law, they're supposed to be informed about it. Before any child can be vaccinated, the parent has to be given a vaccine information statement. But many people report to me that that doesn't happen in the real world, and there's no enforcement mechanism. There's no penalty for doctors if they violate federal law. So they're above the law. And not all of them do what they're supposed to. So if 90 to 99% of the adverse events are not even reported, then we can hardly look at the payouts to date as an indicator of the level of harm that vaccines cause. And a former FDA commissioner, David Kessler, I believe is his name, Dr. David Kessler, had said that fewer than 1% of adverse events are reported. A real scope of vaccine accuracy. We have no way to kill, therefore, a risk-benefit assessment. We can't tell with any reliable data for us to be able to make any sort of even estimate, a ballpark estimate. Is there a net benefit of vaccines? We don't know. We can't know currently by any objective measure. And the extent to which our government avoids and refuses actively to take steps to see what the true net benefit or loss is profoundly suggests that our government is controlled by the pharmaceutical industry, who does not want to lose the enormous and fast-growing multi-billion-dollar national market for vaccines. The National Institutes of Health, while recently admitting that the best data would come from a study comparing vaccinated children with unvaccinated children to see who's healthy, in the same breath, said we don't need to do that study because the vaccine program is safe. For that, sorry if I'm using that word. I've been accused of just by calling something stupid when it looked stupid to me, but I just don't know any I can't sugarcoat that. That is just stupid. It defies basic elementary school level logic. Cannot judge a study conducted yet and says you're going to invent don't need to do the study. The program is safe, so we don't need to test it to find out whether or not it's safe. I'm sorry, but that's stupid. And yet, that's the mentality that it created and runs and develops ongoing vaccination in this country. Not logical, not reasonable. Now, there's this widely held and commonly and popularly asserted belief that unvaccinated people pose a risk of harm to others. People often say, well, I have a fundamental right to decide what goes into my body. Or they'll ask me, don't we have a right to decide what goes into our body? Folks, I would be the first one to step up to the plate and agree with anyone else 110% that we should have the right to decide what goes into our body. And you don't have to look any further than a corrupt vaccine policy to justify that. A policy that's based on false information, a policy that refuses to find out the truth, or based on positions of people who tell us misinformation and who actively refuse any efforts to do objective open studies to find out what the truth about vaccines is. These same people are telling us, you have to get vaccinated. You decide into your body when it comes to vaccines because you have to get vaccinated to protect other people. And if you don't get a vaccine, you're putting other people at risk. You're going to spread disease. And it boils down to, if you get a vaccine, you're fine. If you don't, you're going to kill everybody. That's the kind of mentality that is used to scare people into getting vaccines. So you can't talk people into it in a calm, collective, rational way, because there isn't really a calm, collective, rational argument to support vaccination. All the things we don't know, all the things we do know that are suppressed, covered up, or hidden about the problems with vaccines. Well, your scare tactics, fear, that was a mixing fear and fear. A lot of skier tactics, fear tactics and scare tactics, are used, and even mainstream medical people buy into this and use these tactics without even realizing that they're contradicting their own mainstream medical information. So here's the deal with vaccines. Now, I'm going to talk mainstream medicine for a little bit here. I don't necessarily personally agree with all this, but I want to point out that health authorities contradict themselves. The CDC tells us that 5 to 15% of people, or children, who get vaccinated don't develop immunity. The reason that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things is because of this so-called herd immunity theory that says as long as most people are immune, everybody's protected. Disease will not travel around in a population by way of immune people. That's the theory. So even this, as long as most people who are vaccinated develop immunity, you still get that herd immunity effect. That's the theory. That's the idea. Well, the CDC also tells us that people who are not vaccinated may have natural immunity. And you can get natural immunity, again, according to the CDC, without even developing symptoms. So the truth of the matter is you can't tell one person's immune status by their vaccination status. There's not a direct correlation between, or not a consistent correlation between vaccination status and immune status. But that, under the herd immunity theory, you need to worry any given individual. In fact, determine immune status of any given individual. As long as most people are immune, everyone's protected. So, under the mainstream theory, vaccination is not an issue with individuals, it's an issue with groups. You want to make sure that most in a group are vaccinated. So what are current exemption rates? CDC just very recently posted an article, the Morbidity and Mortality Report Weekly, saying that in the 2012-2013 school year, on average around the country, with regard to kindergartners, 1.8% of kindergartners had some kind of exemption. Now, if you got 1.8% of the population that is exempt, but somewhere between 5 and 15% of that same population got vaccines that didn't work for whatever reason, where is the large number of non-immune people? Well, the non-immune vaccinated people make up many times the number of exempt children, and many of those exempt children will have immunity naturally anyway, making the comparison even far, far greater. So the issue, if we assume that vaccines work, that's a whole separate discussion, and there's a lot of information to suggest they really don't, but the issue, if there is one at all, not about the exempt kids. They make up a very tiny percent of the overall, or let's say the non-immune exempt kids, which would be a subset or smaller group of the unvaccinated children, the non-immune unvaccinated children, because some unvaccinated children will have natural immunity. So the non-immune unvaccinated children are a very, very tiny group compared to the non-immune vaccinated children. So if there's an issue at all with non-immune children, let's find out where that 5 to 15% of non-immune vaccinated kids are, because that's a huge group compared to the non-immune unvaccinated kids. And yet, if your child has an exemption and there's a local outbreak, your kid is the one who stays home from school. Many, many times that number of non-immune vaccinated kids, but none of them have to stay home from school because they all did the right thing. They got their vaccine. Well, if the reason your kid is staying home is because you as a parent have a religious objection to vaccines, I say that that violates your First Amendment to religion constitutional right. Because you are being singled out because of your religious beliefs in your child, you stay home. Other non-immune children don't have to stay home. Only the ones whose religious beliefs are civil court case. Haven't heard of anyone making an argument in court. Or how it came out, if it was taken to court. But I think the argument's there. Really, the counter argument to that hypothetical court case is that as a matter of public policy, you know, schools can't afford to test children, and they shouldn't be requiring parents to take who vaccinate their children to spend even more money to have them tested to see if the vaccines generated the antibodies or not. But the bottom line is this, you've got a local outbreak, you tell the parents, you say, parents, there's a local outbreak. Vaccines don't work in everybody. Some unvaccinated children may have natural immunity. We can't tell you, we the school, we can't tell you whether or not your child is safe, because being vaccinated doesn't guarantee that. Being unvaccinated doesn't necessarily mean you're not safe. So parents, here's the information. Outbreak. You decide, the parent, whether you want to pull your kid out of school for the incubation period of the disease, vaccinated or not, whether you want to pull your kid out of school, whether you want to have your kid tested to see if they have antibodies, whether you want to just take your chances, leave your kid in, either way. You let the parents decide. And that's where the authority and the power should be anyway. Shouldn't be the government telling us how to raise our children. The government's job should go no farther than informing us of the conditions that are important for us to know about. So if there's an outbreak, sure, I want my school to tell me about it, my child's school. Although at this point I'm homeschooling and I don't have that issue. But we don't need for government to make decisions for us that are based on what's most profitable for the industry. We don't need industry people in positions of government making those decisions for us. We don't need partnerships between industry and government pretending to be partnering for the benefit of society when the real reason they're partnering is to maximize their influence and control with respect to industry's bottom line and not looking out in an objective way for the health and best interest of society, as should be the case. Well, I started out the half an hour with a 6-page article that I was going to use as a starting point for things I wanted to discuss, and perhaps not surprisingly, I got up to page 2. And so perhaps I'll come back to this later in the show or next week to go further. What is the moral and ethical imperative for philosophical exemptions? Got on some very much related, but to one extent or another, they're side issues. You're listening to Vaccines in Your Right in the U.S. I'm vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips. This is being broadcast live on radio at freedomizerradio.com and simulcast with Homeopathy World Community. And this is a show that was originally for 2 or 3 years on Homeopathy World Community. A few months ago, we combined that show with Freedomizer Radio and now do, when the technology is up and running, we occasionally have some problems. I think last week was one example of that. But when things are running smoothly, we are simulcast, going out simultaneously to Freedomizer Radio and Homeopathy World Community. Well, we're at a break point here. I'm going to take a short break. We will be back in just a few minutes. Got another hour and a half to go to talk with you about rights, senior rights in the U.S., and vaccine news in the U.S. and around the world. So do stay with us. We're glad to have you with us today, and we'll see you in just a few minutes here. Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer Radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait.
There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. An Embellus and Burmese film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just cornered the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Well, we are back. This is Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips. Still coming at you solo. We'll see whether or not a guest joins me in the next few minutes, as I was certainly hoping we would have today, but was not able to confirm. So we'll look for that. But in the meantime, I will move on ahead alone here and talk to you about some of the news going on around the world concerning vaccines. First of all, just right off the cuff, there is a recent new mandate here in my state of North Carolina. I can't say I'm at all surprised about this because we're one of the major, if not maybe even the primary vaccine manufacturing state here. Who would have thought that little old Bible Belt backwoods country, North Carolina? But we have that. We have in the center of the state, the Research Triangle Park, heavy, heavy pharmaceutical presence there. We had just a couple of years ago a brand new $1 billion, that's with a B, pandemic flu vaccine plant in Holly Springs, North Carolina, just outside of or near the Triangle Park area in the center of the state. $450 million given to build that plant by the federal government. Probably created a few jobs. Maybe that's a good thing as far as that goes. But here's an article from WRAL.com, one of the area television stations, where it says flu shot now required for state healthcare workers. So they just sort of instantly added about 10,000 vaccines to the market there, purchased vaccines. And WRAL.com saying in the article, 10,000 employees and volunteers who work at and run the state healthcare facilities across North Carolina are now required to get a mandatory flu vaccine because many of the patients and residents in our state facilities are at high risk for complications from flu. This is a responsible decision that will create a safer environment for our patients and staff. I respectfully disagree with that assertion, and I'd like to point out some information that directly contradicts that assertion, although this is, of course, what we hear from state health authorities and what gets echoed in the mainstream media because they're not allowed to share opposing views. Today, I was contacted by NPR locally during the swine flu pandemic. Did I want to come on and talk about the problems with what was going on? I said, sure. And they got back to me later and said, oops, never mind. You will not be allowed to speak against the preconceived status quo pro-vaccine agenda and position for any length of time, if ever at all, on any mainstream news, radio, or TV show, or in any mainstream newspaper. It's not going to happen. If anybody dares to challenge the status quo, heads will roll. If you try to do it in the mainstream media, because the mainstream media is carefully controlled by people who have an agenda, and their agenda is served by promoting vaccines and the misinformation about vaccines, what I affectionately refer to as lies, and they will not allow contrary information. Doesn't mean that people in those systems are not interested in the truth. I was contacted by somebody who was. But they were not allowed to follow through. So, are mandatory flu vaccines something that'll make a safer environment for patients and staff? In 2010, the Cochrane Collaboration, an independent international consortium of medical researchers, which, by the way, is well respected in the mainstream medical world, reported on one of at least three or more different reviews they've done of the medical literature regarding flu vaccines, this one looking at the safety and effectiveness of flu vaccines in healthy adults. And they concluded, well, their review started with the word warning in all capital letters. Reliable evidence on influenza vaccines is thin, but there is evidence of widespread manipulation of conclusions. Vaccine use did not affect working days lost, had no effect on hospital admissions or complication rates. Of course, it's doubtful that this problem is limited to flu vaccines, but there's just tremendous evidence talking about problems in the medical literature with respect to flu vaccines. That was in 2010. In 2011, there was a study in The Lancet, one of the more widely known and respected peer review medical publications on the planet, a Lancet study revealed that flu vaccines are 60% effective. Now, we can take that number at face value and you can say, well, it's almost just a toss of the coin about whether or not flu vaccine will even work at all. And with the flu vaccine, they have to guess months in advance what the dominant flu strain or strains are going to be in the next upcoming flu season, because it takes several months to manufacture large quantities of vaccines, at least using current manufacturing techniques. And if you guess the strain's wrong, the vaccine's not going to protect at all. But let's look a little deeper here, because there was a wonderful article written by a medical doctor who dug a little bit deeper. A Dr. Gary, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, Kohls, K-O-H-L-S. And this is published at a website called thepeoplesvoice.org, O-R-G. Title of the article he wrote, Flu Shots, Fosamax and Pharmaceutical Fakery, the Common Use of Misleading Statistics in the Medical Literature. See, huge money is on the line with published studies. If a study is published that makes a vaccine or any other drug or product for that matter look good, then sales go up. If a study finds that the vaccine didn't work and the study actually reports that, the researchers who did the study will not be hired again, first of all, because millions of dollars will be lost. And the truth of the matter is that we live in a world where people put money above some people, certainly not all of us. But there are people who will put the pursuit of profit above the truth and above the safety and health of their fellow human beings. And this is not speculation on my part. We have routinely, we see pharmaceutical companies get fines, criminal fines in the hundreds of millions of dollars, even a couple of $1 billion criminal fines in 2009 and 2012, Pfizer, and it'll come to mind in a minute here, but another company in 2012, different company, $1 billion criminal fines. And these criminal fines, and there are additional civil fines, criminal and civil fines, but I emphasize the criminal because you don't get a criminal fine unless you engage in criminal behavior and knew you were doing that when you did it. Criminal prosecution, criminal charges are alleging that, and to get a criminal prosecution, for example, to actually have a charge stick and have somebody be found guilty of a crime, they have to have had criminal intent. If you accidentally do something or carelessly do something and cause harm, that's a problem. You can be sued in civil court for negligence. You do it on purpose, and certain kinds of acts or behaviors that you do, if you do it deliberately, are crimes. And so the bottom line here is that the pharmaceutical industry routinely engages in criminal behavior, and they do this largely through the illegal marketing of prescription drugs. In other words, they will commit crimes in the pursuit of maximizing profits, and they do it on a regular basis, and not little crimes, crimes that when they get caught, they get fined sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars or even billions of dollars for their behavior. And when Pfizer was fined $1 billion, $1 billion criminal fine and a $1.3 billion civil fine in 2009, one of the reasons the criminal fine was so much is because it was the fourth time they'd been caught doing the same criminal behavior over the previous about 7 years. So it's not speculation on my part when I say there are people in the world who will put the pursuit of profit over and above the safety and health and well-being of others. When you lie, cheat, steal, otherwise engage in criminal behavior in the healthcare arena, you're putting people's lives at risk. There are people who suffer unnecessarily or die because of the criminal behavior that pharmaceutical companies engage in. And they keep doing it for two reasons. Now, you can call this next comment speculation on my part if you'd like, but it's not by any means out of left field. They keep doing it for two pretty clear reasons. One, because it's profitable. And two, nobody goes to jail. Now, if you or I committed a crime in the same nature that pharmaceutical companies engage in, we'd go to jail for it. There's no question about it. If you're an individual and you do a crime, significant crime, you're going to go to jail. It's that simple, and you should most of the time. Or some other kind of appropriate consequence. You know, if somebody commits a crime because they have a mental health problem, they should be taken off the street, but maybe jail's not the right place. Maybe some sort of treatment for their mental health issue. But the point is, there needs to be an appropriate consequence for inappropriate behavior. Fining a company hundreds of millions or billions of dollars, if it doesn't stop the behavior, is obviously not an appropriate consequence. Are you with me on that, folks? This is kind of simple, common sense logic here. If the penalty for bad behavior doesn't stop the bad behavior, then it's the wrong penalty. So we need to send pharmaceutical executives to jail and not some little vacation in the Caribbean somewhere that you're going to call jail. They need to be behind bars, wearing the jumpsuits like everybody else. Go eat in the prison lunchroom like everybody else. Go play basketball on the prison basketball courts or whatever like everybody else. Not some pretend prison that really is just a paid vacation from work. So I talked about the Cochrane Collaboration review of the medical literature, the one they published in 2010, the Lancet study published in 2011. You know, in September of 2011, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, this is a federal agency, OSHA, O-S-H-A, which stands for Occupational Safe and Healthy Administration. In September 2011, they issued a position statement. I want to read this to you. I want to quote it. OSHA believes there is insufficient scientific evidence for the federal government to promote mandatory influenza vaccination programs that do not have an option for the healthcare professionals to decline for medical, religious, and or philosophical reasons. Which in effect says there should be no absolute mandate at all. But maybe you want to mandate it just so you keep statistics on who refuses and why for whatever reason. Although I'm opposed to that as well, because that information in today's world especially is subject to being misused or abused, somehow used against the people who are refusing. But this is a federal agency, and this is an unusual situation because to a very large extent, the federal government is, federal and state governments are highly influenced, if not outright controlled, by industry. The health agencies, by the pharmaceutical industry, and the health insurance industry, and so forth. Other medical organizations and agencies that have a stake in the decisions made, the policies implemented by state and federal health agencies. And you've got the same thing with other kinds of agencies and other industries. It's not something by any means unique to the healthcare industry, but it's so disturbing when it happens in healthcare because people suffer and die needlessly so that a small number of executives in these health-related industries can be disgustingly rich and hold their positions of power and wealth. Just not a good reason to hurt someone. So unusual when a federal agency takes a position against vaccines, because most of these agencies are controlled to a significant, if not substantial, degree. In 2012, there was a critical review in the International Journal of Family Medicine. That journal concluded, and I quote, The arguments for uniform healthcare worker influenza vaccination are not supported by existing literature. Same thing we heard from OSHA in 2011. Same thing we heard from the Cochrane Collaboration in 2010. Reading on with the quote, the decision whether to get vaccinated should, except possibly in extreme situations, be that of the individual healthcare worker, without legal, institutional, or peer coercion. I mean, it's sort of interesting. They almost hedged their bet there, except in possibly extreme situations. Well, if the arguments for uniform healthcare worker influenza vaccination are not supported by the existing literature, which is what this journal says in this article, what would be the extreme situation that would suddenly make the vaccines work that you should get it? But in any event, I hear that as saying, in effect, that the person writing this review is not anti-vaccine. In extreme situations, we should use the vaccine. But in this particular instance, the flu vaccine, the literature just doesn't back it up. That was in November of 2012. Earlier this year, 2013, the British Medical Journal ran an article. And said, in effect, that the aggressive promotion of influenza vaccine is not supported by the medical literature. Again, we're hearing this in 2010, 2011, 2012, again this year, 2013. And it fails to acknowledge serious vaccine risks. For example, and contrary to wildly mistaken claims, only 16% of tested respiratory specimens are positive for influenza. You know, the Cochrane collaboration reported in one of the reviews that there are over 200 viruses that can create flu-like symptoms. Only a few of them are flus. So here's the British Medical Journal saying 16% of the tested respiratory specimens end up being the flu, and serious vaccine adverse events are well documented internationally. And I'll tell you, folks, anecdotal information is not scientific, but when you hear it up to a certain point, it really is worth listening to. And I have heard from healthcare workers all over the country, and I've probably worked with 200 or more at this point in well over half of the U.S. states. And I hear over and over and over again, from Maine to California to Florida to Washington State to Hawaii, I hear the same thing over and over again. It's the workers who get the vaccine who end up getting sick and taking time off. And I talked to a North Carolina state worker recently who contacted me because the state is now requiring the state workers to, healthcare workers, to get the flu shot. And she's worried because there's a hiring freeze right now in North Carolina for state healthcare workers. And she says if they start force vaccinating everybody, they're going to have a lot of people staying home sick because it's the people who get the vaccine who end up getting sick, disturbingly enough. And I bet nobody's keeping track of that. Nobody's documenting those statistics. Nobody's correlating that evidence. That would be information that's available, though, if hospitals would release it. It'd be very interesting for somebody to pull together that information. Tell us what's going on. How many workers who are unvaccinated are taking sick leave during the winter? And how many who got vaccinated are? That would be a real interesting study. We'd like to see that one, please. So only 60% of the tested specimens turn out to be positive for influenza. And, of course, serious vaccine adverse events are well documented internationally. Here in the U.S., you can go to the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, the VICP, Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. You can go to their website, federal government website, and they'll tell you how many dollars were paid out each year for each vaccine for injury and death caused by the vaccine, hundreds of them. for the flu vaccine. And this is also something I hear anecdotally over and over again from healthcare workers all over the country, that they, the ones who I talk to or their coworkers, have gotten sick or hurt by the flu vaccine. I had a medical doctor tell me that he had four patients that had had Guillain-Barré syndrome as a result of the vaccine. Now, he's not administering the vaccines. He works in a different area, but the patients he has are ones who've gotten the vaccine. Four of them had gotten Guillain-Barré syndrome, a debilitating chronic condition associated with flu vaccines in particular. Three of them died. So you can bet your sweet Bippy that he's not going to get a flu vaccine. And with that figure of speech, you now know that I must be at least in my 40s or 50s. That coming from a popular TV show back in the probably 70s. Moving on, also in 2013, this year, the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, or CIDRAP, it's at the University of Minnesota, they reported on studies showing that the flu vaccine provided, quote, little or no protection in 2010 and 11, and that getting a flu shot 2 years in a row may actually lower protection. Now, we saw data during the swine flu pandemic coming out of Canada, and I've seen an article recently that was about a study confirming this. Originally, it was just in one province, and they thought, well, it's coincidence, or maybe there's something wrong. And then they saw it in other provinces. People who got the swine flu vaccine had a higher incidence of seasonal flu. And if I remember correctly, it was about twice as much. So what the University of Minnesota's Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy is telling us, it's just confirming something that was seen 4 years ago about in Canada with the swine flu vaccine as pertains to the, excuse me, I think I said that backwards. People who had had the seasonal flu vaccine the year before had a much higher incidence, chance or risk of getting the swine flu vaccine. I think I said that backwards. I apologize. I believe that what it was, that people who had the seasonal flu vaccine the year before had a higher rate of swine flu, contracting swine flu, when during the so-called swine flu pandemic. So there are many, many reasons, long story short here, much evidence right out of the mainstream peer-reviewed medical literature that directly contradicts what WRAL here in North Carolina says on their website, that the State Department of Health and Human Services is saying, I make sure I'm not blaming WRAL directly, they are quoting the state health people. But the WRAL article quotes the state health people as saying how important it is for us to have this mandatory flu vaccine policy to protect patients and staff, and we've got years now of peer-reviewed published articles, reviews, saying the flu vaccine doesn't work. And we have evidence posted right on our own federal government's website that shows that the flu vaccine injures and kills people, and I'm hearing that anecdotally from credible medical professionals from all over the country. And so who's behind this? What's behind this? Are the people at the state really that stupid? I don't think so. You don't get into a position, the Department of Health and Human Services secretary saying in a statement, you don't have people get in those positions who don't know what they're doing. Now, I can't say whether they believe what they're saying or whether that's what they're being required to say, and so they say it. Either way, it's disturbing. If they're believing what they're told and they're not even looking for themselves to see what's going on the subject, that's really, really unfortunate. That's not the person I want in control of my state's health. But I think it's even worse if they know it's not true and they're saying it because that's, you know, that's what they're being told to say. Because one is being careless, the other is just a blatant lack of integrity. But either way, the system lacks integrity. The system is designed to promote and support pharmaceutical profits at the expense of the health and well-being of the citizens. And I am not a criminal law attorney, but I just find that to be criminal in nature. Anybody who knowingly pushes a policy that unnecessarily hurts and kills people, that's criminal. What do we do about it? That's a more difficult situation, because the way our legal system works is that it gives pretty doggone full and complete endorsement of whatever the experts, quote-unquote experts, say. And the top experts in health are the people at the Center for Disease Control and the state health departments. And whether those people know what they're doing or actually believe the information they're given, what comes out from these people and the policy that comes out from these people is not based on science. It's based on an underlying corrupt system. And you don't have to take my word for it. The information is out there for anyone who wants to look. But if you want my help, I've got some articles at my vaccinerights.com website that are very carefully cited and referenced so that you can get a good start and a good feel for what's going on in the world. And then we can discuss in shows like this what we do about it, because that's not a short answer question either. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. This is Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips speaking to you from the Vaccine Rights Studios in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina, in the edge of the Appalachian Mountains, or maybe kind of right out in the mountains, really here. Beautiful part of the country. Beautiful weather here recently and today, and projected for upcoming days. Lows in the high 50s or low 60s, highs in probably the high 70s. I don't think there's any rain in the forecast for the next few days. Absolutely beautiful here. We're due for another break. We're going to go to break. Lots more to talk about. We're only halfway through the show, so I hope you will stay with us. Lots more vaccine news to talk about and vaccine information. So we will be back with you in just a few minutes. Please stay with us.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here: there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping. So go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show, beginning at 9 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
I'm not a lab rat.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks.
80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes. Vote yes. Please vote yes. Count the cookie.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
We are back. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips, coming to you from the Vaccine Rights Studios in Asheville, North Carolina. My regular co-host, founder of Homeopathy World Community, Debbie Bruck, not able to be with us today, enjoying some religious holidays. Debbie, we wish you the very best, and hopefully we'll get you back next week. I had hoped I would have another guest in who obviously was not able to make it today either. So I'm going it solo today, folks. Glad to be here with you. Delighted to take the helm and go forward. Always love having co-hosts with me or guests calling in. Of course, you're welcome to call in. The number here is area code 347-324-3704. You can call in to listen or call in and push 1 on your touchtone dial to get in the queue here. If you have a question or comment you want to contribute to the conversation, that number again to call in during the live show, which, by the way, if you go to freedomizerradio.com, freedomizerradio.com, the number is posted on the website there as well. But that number again is area code 347-324-3704. You're welcome to call in during the live show if you've got a question or comment. You're welcome to call in just to listen over the phone if that's a convenient way for you to listen. Well, I want to look briefly here next at an article that comes from outoftheboxremedies.net. outoftheboxremedies.net. This is an article called, or titled, Stealth Vaccines Coming Your Way, and written by someone, and I hope I'm pronouncing the name closely, Johannan Burkett. And I'm going to read part of this article and discuss some of this with you. It says the stealth vaccinators from the World Health Organization took Israel by storm recently, and the push was so fast and intense no one had time to investigate the efficacy or safety of the oral polio vaccine vaccinations. And the writer says, even as I write this blog, Israel's health ministry has already been coerced into pressuring its citizens to accept the vaccinations without thinking. An article in the Jerusalem Post encouraged people to simply react and not debate. And the trusting public stampeded to the vaccination centers as though something horrible would happen to them if they didn't react immediately. Now, the reason for this, what, have there been, you know, has there been a rash of polio outbreaks across Israel? No. It's the alleged presence of the polio virus in the public water supply. So someone says, we found polio virus in the public water supply, so everybody needs to rush out and get vaccinated. Well, if there was a dangerous polio virus in the public water supply, wouldn't you expect there would be outbreaks of polio throughout the public that drinks and bathes with and washes with this public water supply that has polio in it? You would think so. Now, I can't speak to polio specifically, but as to vaccines generally, you don't get a shot or take the drops or snort the vaccine, whatever kind it is, and then you're instantly protected. Vaccines are supposedly designed to trigger an immune response, and it can take several days, a couple weeks or more, for that immune response to complete its process and create and generate the antibodies that supposedly will protect you from the wild disease. So let's say for the sake of conversation that the polio vaccine works and has no risks, no side effects. Well, maybe you should get it then, but if there's already polio virus in the water, you shouldn't drink the water for the next, or, you know, bathe in it or come in contact with the water for the next 2 or 3 weeks or however long it takes for the polio virus, the polio vaccine, to generate the antibodies. But nobody's saying anything about that. So what is it really about? Is it about protecting people from a virus? Sure doesn't sound like it to me. Back to the article here, the writer says, and as usual, the medical authorities would have everybody believe the vaccines can save the day. Just like what happened when I was a kid and was told I might die of polio if I didn't get vaccinated. This is the authors of the article speaking here. As it turns out, the incidence of polio was greater among those who were vaccinated by far. Now, I mentioned that earlier in today's show, that health authorities lied to us about polio in order to cover up the polio vaccine, in order to cover up the fact that the first polio vaccine was actually a disaster. It backfired. It increased polio here in the U.S., throughout the country. It did not help polio keep declining, didn't help it decline any faster than it had already been doing for 4 or 5 years. it actually reversed those declines. There were a couple of states here in the U.S. that stopped vaccinating because the vaccine was increasing the polio incidence and death. Apparently, the political pressure to conform is greater than the pressure to save your citizens, because those states eventually got back on board with polio vaccinations. Don't stop vaccinating. People will see that we made a mistake here. Let's go ahead and injure and kill people so long as it looks like what we're doing was the right thing and had the right effect. Specifically, polio was redefined on paper. You go back and look at the official statistics after the vaccine was introduced, polio dropped. Well, it was already dropping, but it continued to drop. But before the polio vaccine was introduced here in the United States in 1955, polio included what we now document as three different viruses, at least three different ones, the ones I'm aware of, Coxsackie virus and aseptic meningitis. Those two and the polio virus were all documented and recorded as polio, but when they introduced the vaccine, they said we're going to start tracking all of these separately. So polio polio went down, but if you look at the incidence of aseptic meningitis and Coxsackie virus after the polio vaccine was introduced, those viruses skyrocketed. Profound increases. Polio did not decrease as a result of the introduction of the polio vaccine. Polio's prior years-long decrease was reversed, at least temporarily. And that was covered up, as I said earlier, by health authorities. I mentioned we had a very similar thing in India more recently. And I think we can project that something very similar is going to happen in Israel. Why this mad rush to vaccinate if there's nobody who's getting polio? Why would there be polio in the water supply? Is that valid? Has that been verified by independent sources? What kind of virus? How did it get there, if it really was there? So, serious problems here. This article refers to smallpox vaccines given to the British in the 1800s. Over 95% of the population was immunized, followed by a huge outbreak in smallpox. And as this writer says, if we can learn anything from history, it's that we never learn from history. We have met the enemy, and he is us. Or at least some of us. Any intelligent person should immediately reject the insertion of unknown toxic substances into the body without an investigation, says this writer. To place one's faith in global medical entities is to invite disaster. They are extremely corrupt. Now, this is not, I got to take a pause here. This is not some wild conspiracy theorist. You can go to the World Health Organization's own website, unless they've taken it down. But back in 2009, the World Health Organization itself posted on its own website that the medical industry is corrupt. I should see if I can pull up the exact quote for you. They said at every step, and I think they used the phrase medicine's chain, they said there's corruption in every step or every phase, from research and development to marketing and promotion. So when I say there are problems, for example, in the pharmaceutical industry and the federal health agencies, I'm not suggesting that everybody who works for those companies or agencies is corrupt, not by any stretch of the imagination. I personally, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe there are any widespread conspiracies throughout the medical industry or the pharmaceutical industry or the state and federal health agencies. I think there are many honorable people of integrity in all of these entities, all these organizations. Now, a lot of them are misinformed, clearly, but mostly good people. But, you know, it only takes a small number of people, a relatively small number of people in a few key decision-making positions to control everybody else's or most everybody else's thinking and beliefs, and in any event, to control the policy and law. And so it doesn't matter, once you control policy and law, it doesn't matter if a few people know the truth and are opposed to you. As long as you're controlling the majority, you know, you can maintain your control. And as long as you have the means to implement and enforce your control. So a small number of decision makers, and where do I come up with that from? That's not something I just invented or speculated either. I'll give you very specific, clearly reliable but disturbing in its conclusions. There's a nonprofit organization called the Union of Concerned Scientists. Its members are largely scientists. And they did a survey of federal agency scientists here in the U.S. back around maybe 2006 or 7, I'm thinking. It's been a few years ago now. And they published their results. It's called Voices of Federal Scientists. It's on the internet. Go look it up. Google Voices of Federal Scientists and read their report. It's chilling. It's chilling what it says. I'll give you just a general sense of this, but nothing speaks better than reading the report and seeing the actual numbers. But there were significant numbers and percentages of scientists throughout at least five different federal agencies, Environmental Protection Agency, Food and Drug Administration, and others. Significant number or percentage of scientists who were reporting in a survey things like they had been told to change the conclusions in their research findings, or they had seen policy enacted that was directly contrary to their research findings. See, the scientists don't decide policy. They conduct the research. There's some person in a managerial position who makes the decisions. And according to these scientists, at least, those decisions may or may not have anything to do with science. See, there are other things that motivate decisions. There shouldn't be, but in the real world, there are. And so we see these insane things like scientists doing their job, functioning from a place of integrity, of honesty. Here's the science, here's what the research shows. But the decision makers saying, who cares? This is what we're going to do. Something totally different much of the time. Look that up and see that for yourself. This is the world we live in. And we've got to wake up. We've got to help other people wake up. Because it's not only just continuing business as usual, but it's getting worse. There are over 100 bills, vaccine bills, pending around in over 30 state legislatures right now around the U.S. Most of those bills, if they become law, will aggressively further the vaccine agenda, requiring more people to be vaccinated, people who are already vaccinated to get more vaccines than before, new categories of people to be vaccinated, more tracking of the vaccination status, not only of children, but of adults. And when I say new categories of people, categories of adults who previously were never required to get vaccines are now, if these bills pass, going to be vaccinated. New categories of people being allowed to administer vaccines, pharmacists in particular, and in six different states. The agenda is rolling out more and more aggressively at an accelerated speed. We are moving into the direction of we're becoming a vaccine police state where everybody's going to be required to get vaccines. people's right to refuse vaccines being taken away. I want to say little by little, but some of these steps are big steps. Some of these laws, some of these bills that are proposed, and some of the laws that have already recently been enacted are unconstitutional, requiring things of people that if the state laws and the state legislatures adhered to proper state and federal constitutional boundaries, these laws wouldn't have been passed the way they've been drafted. But the truth is, the state legislature can pass any law they get the votes for. Somebody could draft a law saying we are going to become a police state next Thursday, and if they got the votes for it, we'd become a police state next Thursday. Whether that's constitutional or not doesn't matter, because the way the law works is that a law is presumed to be constitutional until a court says otherwise. So state representatives all take an oath to uphold the state and federal constitutions, but that oath means nothing if they decide at any given point that it means nothing, because it's more important to some representatives, at least, to do the right political thing, kiss up to the pharmaceutical industry because they're going to fund your next reelection campaign or whatever it is, or somebody convinces them that vaccines are safe and effective when they're really not. You know, just because they vote the wrong way doesn't mean they're necessarily dishonest or lacking integrity, but clearly many of them know exactly what they're doing and don't care because they figured out how the system works, and they're going to work the system, not do what it pretends to do and not admit that that's what they're doing, but that's what many of them are doing. One of my own state representatives, now former state representative, said she didn't care if a law we have is unconstitutional because we had University of North Carolina hospitals in our district. So the unconstitutional law that she did not disagree, she didn't say, oh, no, it is constitutional, because it clearly wasn't and still on the books, so isn't. She didn't disagree with that. She just said, I can't help you with it because, you know, UNC hospitals won't like it. So your oath to uphold the state and federal constitutions was just a joke? Is that what you're saying? No answer when I asked her about that. I didn't ask it in that way, but in effect, no answer to that. So this is the world we live in. What do we do about it? Well, one of the things we can do about it is to become legislatively active. Now, I understand that very few of us have time to take on a part-time job of being a legislative activist. And let's face it, being a legislative activist for many people is a full-time job. The system has gotten cumbersome enough that it's really difficult to work it as a citizen. But the National Vaccine Information Center, a nonprofit organization that's been advocating for vaccine choice and helping people injured by vaccines for probably about 3 decades now, wonderful organization, they have created what's called the NVIC, which is the acronym for National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC Advocacy Portal. This is a website, and the web address is nvicadvocacy.org, NVIC Advocacy, it's ADVOCACY, Advocacy, NVICAdvocacy.org, where you can keep up with what's going on in the state legislatures around the country on vaccine issues only, nothing else. They've been tempted to put in related issues, but nope, they're only dealing with vaccines. So go to NVICAdvocacy.org, look at the site, join the site. You can look at it for free, but you can join it, and joining it doesn't cost anything, but you can plug in your address, which they keep private, but they'll use that information to tell you who your representatives are. They have made it as easy as possible for people to participate in the vaccine legislative process. It's a work in progress. They hope to eventually have a director for all 50 states, probably all the U.S. territories as well. They're a long ways from that, but they have a lot of people who are directors for many of the states, some of them keeping up with more than one state. And it's an opportunity for you to see what's going on nationally and what's going on in your state with vaccine legislation, vaccine bills. It's an opportunity to stand up against those bills and speak out against those bills and oppose those bills that would seek to further a misguided vaccine agenda. And an opportunity to support those bills that are seeking to create and promote and establish the right to make informed choices. And I encourage everyone to get involved to whatever extent your time allows. You know, don't dive in so much you burn yourself out, but decide what works for you because and pace yourself for the long term. This is not likely to be a short-term project. But get involved. Pay attention. It only takes a couple of minutes or a few minutes a week or even a month to keep up with what's going on in your state. Take a look at what's going on around the rest of the country. You don't have to take on a part-time job. You can go to the NVIC Advocacy Portal and keep abreast of what's going on. And if you do have additional time and motivation and want to be a director, get a hold of the folks at the NVIC and tell them because they need directors in many states still, as far as I understand. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. I'm Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips, speaking to you from the Vaccine Rights Studios in Asheville, North Carolina. We're due for another break here. The next few minutes on this break, you're going to be hearing information about some of the other shows here at freedomizerradio.com. And I encourage you to check it out. Freedomizer Radio runs probably about 15-hour days, I think, with many, many shows. A lot of information you won't find in mainstream media. Find out what's going on, learn about it, decide for yourself. But you can't make an informed decision until you're informed, and you won't be informed if you limit your sources of information to mainstream media. You probably know that if you're listening to this show. So there are many, many shows and many networks and more coming up all the time. There's just the alternative media is an explosive arena. From what I've seen and what I can tell, many people out there, maybe not the millions of listeners that ABC News or any other mainstream outlet has, but you know what? More and more people are relying more and more on alternative media sources because they realize that you can't get complete information from the mainstream media. And the internet has made it possible for more people to provide information and for consumers to have a much, much broader selection of sources of information. Freedomizer Radio has some wonderful shows to help you understand more about what's going on that you don't hear in the mainstream media so you can make informed choices. Well, we'll be back in just a few minutes after break. We have lots more to talk about, and I hope you'll stay with us for the last half hour of Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. See you in just a few minutes, folks.
Let's go. on Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on freedomizerradio.com. All the issues that are important to you, like Common Core, Agenda 21, Fully Informed Jury Association, 10th Amendment, 2nd Amendment, 4th Amendment, 3rd Amendment, the Constitution. See you at freedomizerradio.com, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you there.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again, as I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Wednesdays and Thursdays. Oh, you didn't know? It's time for Guerrilla Radio. Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's right, babies. Guerrilla Radio. The truth is there. We're gonna fight it. Guerrilla style. Only on Freedomizer Radio. Oh, you didn't know? It's time for Guerrilla Radio. Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's right, babies. Guerrilla Radio. The truth is there. We're gonna fight it. Guerrilla style. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
We are back. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips. Coming at you solo today, potential special guest, I'm not able to make it today, and my usual host, founder of Homeopathy World Community, Debbie Bruck, not with us today, so I'm going to take this last half hour, we're down to actually just a few minutes here, but this last segment of the show, which normally Debbie would be taking and talking to you about homeopathy, I'm going to go ahead and take that, talk about a little more vaccine news to finish out the show today. Very glad to have you with us, especially appreciate those of you who have been with us through the show and still are hanging in there with us. I want to look at an article here. It's a recent article. Study raises red flag for universal flu vaccine may explain 2009, quote, Canadian problem, unquote. And this was published right at the end of August. A new study sounds a cautionary note for work that's being done to try to develop vaccines to protect against all subtypes of influenza. This is research that describes a phenomenon in which vaccination against one strain of flu actually seems to raise the risk of severe infection following exposure to a related but different strain, an effect called vaccine-associated enhanced respiratory disease. I want to repeat that. I hope you don't mind, because that was sort of a mouthful. And this is really an important concept here. The research describes, and I'm reading this right out of an article from the Canadian Press by Helen Branswell from August 28th. The research describes a phenomenon in which vaccination against one strain of flu actually seems to raise the risk of severe infection following exposure to a related but different strain. An effect called vaccine-associated enhanced respiratory disease. Now, earlier in this very show, I was talking about how there was research in Canada where those who had gotten a seasonal flu vaccine before the year before the swine flu had a much higher incidence of swine flu than those who hadn't gotten that seasonal flu vaccine. And I believe this is what they're talking about here in this article when they say it may explain the quote-unquote Canadian problem. The scientists say it's currently not known why the effect happened, nor is it clear it would be seen in other species. This research was done in piglets. Nor was this done with flu vaccines used to poor people, but the study suggests that we should be considering this in development assessment of experimental universal flu vaccines. See, I've seen articles in the past where they talk about this. They think they can come up with one vaccine for all flus, rather than having to develop a vaccine that identifies specific strains. And so the current flu vaccines supposedly protect against maybe three or four different strains out of the 200 and something viruses that are known to cause flu-like symptoms, even though they're not all flu, influenza. Not sure how the medical and science folks decide what is or isn't flu in terms of viruses, and how relevant is that distinction when there are maybe dozens or hundreds of other viruses that cause flu-like symptoms. Not sure how relevant the distinction would really be, but for practical purposes at least. The study this article is talking about, by the way, was published in a journal called Science Translational Medicine. We need to ask questions. I'm reading again from the article. We need to ask questions and make sure the appropriate experiments and studies are done to ensure this will or will not happen in different vaccine scenarios, one of the senior authors said in an interview. So there does seem to be some inherent problems with the whole vaccine paradigm. This just being another one. How ironic that you get a vaccine, or that you might get a vaccine and it would make you, perhaps give you protection from one strain of the flu, but make you more vulnerable to other strains. Well, I already talked about just earlier in today's show about research showing something right along these very same lines. Let's see if I can put my hand on it again real quickly here. That, from the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, or CIDRAP, from the University of Minnesota, studies, plural, showing that the influenza vaccine provided little or no protection in 2010 and 11, and that getting a flu shot 2 years in a row may actually lower protection. That sounds like just about the same thing as saying higher risk for other strains. Although this reference from CIDRAP suggests lower protection from the strains you're vaccinating against. But both are saying disturbing things in terms of the basic information there. Well, what else do we have here? A lot of else going on. I don't want to spend so much time on any one thing that I don't mention anything else. UNICEF took a look at anti-vaccination trends recently and tracking using social media the anti-vaccine sentiment in Eastern European social media networks. And this is rather interesting because what UNICEF has done is to decide or determine that anti-vaccine sentiment in Eastern Europe is because of a list of websites, many of which are right here in the U.S., probably most of these. And the UNICEF article, according to an article at greenmedinfo.com, which is what I'm looking at right now to share this news story with you, the UNICEF, a 47-page report, opens with a Mark Twain quote. It's a great line. Mark Twain was a tremendous comedian, but also brilliant and insightful person in many respects. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes. But boy, I tell you, that one really cuts both ways, doesn't it? You know, they're supposedly trying to cast anti-vaccine websites as being the lie that travels around the world. It's quite the other way around, though, folks. It has taken the anti-vaccine community decades to get as far as we've gotten at this point, and we're still only reaching a minority of people, at least to the extent that we're inspiring people to take positions or take action based on the truth of what's going on in the issue. There have been polls that show that over half of Americans are concerned about vaccine safety and vaccine issues. So we're reaching more and more people. And you take an organization like UNICEF, have them speak out. They're really desperate. They're going that far to try and discredit, or let's just tell it like it is, try to hide the truth. So here's a list. When I read you the list, these are some of the most credible people and websites I can think of to send people to for reliable, well-researched, credible information about vaccines and vaccine risks and vaccine problems, safety and effectiveness issues. GreenMedInfo.com, green, the color green, med, M-E-D, info.com. That is a wonderful site, by the way, greenmedinfo.com. Those folks, I'm not just saying this because I write articles from them for them from time to time, but GreenMedInfo is just an amazing project. It's only a few years old, maybe 2008 or something, and they are, among other things, the founder, Sayer, has just done a wonderful, wonderful thing with that project, collecting research about alternative natural forms of health and healing, but published medical studies looking at natural forms of healing. It's just an incredible resource site. Mercola.com, Dr. Joseph Mercola, the source of that one. They come out with just incredible information as well. A little bit sensationalistic in their presentation, but it's good information, well-researched. VacTruth.com, great source of information about vaccines. Mothering.com, generally speaking, a very good source. They were resistant at one point, I'm sorry to say, to my help on the legal side of vaccines, but they are, on the whole, a very credible organization. Lots of exploration of the vaccine issue over years. Dr. Tenpenny on vaccines. Can't say enough about Sherry Tenpenny. She's an osteopathic physician, medical doctor. Probably one of the most well-researched doctors on the planet when it comes to the vaccine issue. That's just my impression. She spent literally thousands of hours researching vaccines, studying the medical literature, researching law on vaccines. She's terrific. Another website called Thinking Moms Revolution. Another one called The Refusers. Boy, I tell you, there's a heartbreaking story. One of the founders there, a man who lost a child to vaccines, and his response to that has been to advocate for raising awareness on vaccines. Can't say enough about somebody who can take such a horrible tragedy and turn it into a positive message for the world, positive in the sense that he's saying, look at what's going on so that we can stand up against the madness. Natural News, of course, they're one of the top alternative health sites in the country, probably in the world, sort of speaks for themselves. WorldTruth.tv, CafeMom.com, VaccineInjury.info, EverydayHealth.org. A couple here that I must confess I hadn't heard of until I saw them on this list. Left Brain, Right Brain. And then the final one on the list, Zen Gardener, Just Wondering. So lots of websites. Now, there are plenty of other websites out there, radio shows such as this one, many, many other sources and good sources of information on vaccines. But they hit some of the top ones here. And I think it is, despite the fact that UNICEF is trying to slam these sources, the fact that you've got an honorable mention here, quote-unquote honorable mention by UNICEF, that means that these websites are making a difference. And, of course, that makes the folks who support and promote a vaccine agenda, whether, again, out of ignorance or because they actually know and can still do that, who knows in any given instance, but clearly ultimately misguided. So we're making a difference. You get your name, you know, you become a, you know, if you speak out against the status quo, you put a target on your back. That's just sort of a given, certainly in the vaccine arena and probably many other arenas as well. So if you're not willing or able to brush that off, you know, don't go public with an alternative view on anything. But when you get singled out and targeted like this, it says two things. It says, one, you're making a difference because they have noticed you. And two, they are getting more desperate because they're feeling the need to name you and try to discredit you. Now, at least some of the people with some of these websites are some highly credentialed people. And probably most, if not all, these websites carefully documenting and citing their information. Certainly every one that I have seen information from does a good job documenting their information. And that's credibility. You know, you don't have credibility because of your position with a state or federal health agency or because you're a pharmaceutical executive. Ultimately, your credibility comes from your integrity, the truth of your assertions. Not about who has the most power and clout and can use that to further any private or personal agenda they want to, whether it's based on truth or not. No. Maybe that's how the current corrupt political systems operate, but this is changing, folks. Those days are numbered. We're going to see some radical changes. It may get darker before it gets brighter, but it's going to get brighter. More and more people are waking up. And I don't see that stopping. So if you want more information about your rights as it pertains to vaccines, I will shamelessly and proudly refer you to my website, vaccinerights.com, one of the best websites, the only website from an attorney experienced in vaccine exemptions and waivers in over a dozen different categories and subcategories or contexts and subcontexts, and with people around the U.S. and to some extent a little bit around the world where people were dealing with coming to the U.S. as immigrants or temporarily attending school or what have you, various issues. There's a lot of information on the internet, but you've got to be very careful when you go to anti-vaccine websites when it has to do with vaccine rights issues. And I mean no disrespect whatsoever. But the law is complicated, and many of these websites put information up based on what they think the law is or think the law should be, and without really fully understanding what the law is. And sometimes it helps people, but sometimes people have lost rights. So you got to be careful getting information off the internet. I always say it's important, go to an authoritative source. Now, with vaccines, that might be a health department website or even calling a health department. It might be looking at your state's laws. It might be contacting an attorney who's knowledgeable in this area. Many different ways that you can get information. But be careful. Go to an authoritative source. If it's really important, go to an authoritative source. So vaccinerights.com is a website that has very reliable information. And I recommend it to folks there. Also, the ebook available there is a great source of information to explain how the law works. No other document anywhere on or off the internet that I've ever heard of that gives you in-depth authoritative information about how your rights work with vaccine exemptions and waivers. You've been listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. today with vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips. We'll be back next week, same time, Thursday afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time. And we're going to close with an original song of mine called Destiny Freedom. See you next week, folks.
Across this land, both near and far, throughout the human race, within each beating heart, there is a dream whose time has come for us to claim our birthright, each and every one. Evil hands have intervened, controlling from the shadows, think they can't be seen. But we have eyes, see in the dark, to cast a light upon the madness we embark. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Upon their face, sincerity, while underneath the self-agenda does proceed. But falsity perfumes the air. The sin screams louder than the finest debonair. They'll fill your place with GMOs, and soon your lineage will never cease to grow. Inject your blood with toxic waste. The world is all the fairs if you'll just die in haste. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the masters of our destiny. For we must be the masters of our destiny.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.